Like I said, what a joyous time for a Christian. A lot of people stop at the moment at the cross. And we don't get many times to celebrate the resurrection, but we serve a risen Savior. And this is the time that we ought to see smiles and joys on people's faces, right? As they even come in their best. The resurrection is a keystone in our faith. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, we would be dead in our sins. It is not done until he raises and he has taken away our sin. Some of the things that come up, people still, even today, would question, did he really rise from the dead? So we're going to look at a few things that come up. I was going through some searches, and I even saw what Dr. Jeremiah had. He had some symbols, he had some signs. This is an event that changed the world. This is an event that should change your life. We've gone through the part of Lenten season that we were to examine ourselves. Did you do a little bit of that? We have 40 days. This morning was the first time I got to open up a Diet Coke because I had given up for 40 days. I thought for breakfast I'm having a Diet Coke. This time is when we had realized as we examine ourselves, everybody is equal in regards to the relationship between a holy God and them, is that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to tell anybody you're a sinner. You don't have to wear a little badge or anything, but if you realize your life, you do your own thing, don't you? You've all done something where you've said no to God or God's ways. And the only way that we can have a relationship with a Heavenly Father was through the cross. And as vile and heartaching as it was, there needed to be a sacrifice that would cover mankind's sin. And it had to be pure and sinless. And he became sin for us. In a lot of occasions, that's where it stops. And as Christians, we think, okay, we're forgiven. We know we're going to heaven. But we fail to realize today is that wonderful celebration. We ought to see those Christian smiles. We ought to see that enthusiasm. He is risen.
He is risen.
Okay, we're getting there. By the end of the day, maybe we'll get there. He is risen indeed. Let's look at some of the things. Some of the signs in Matthew 27, that the soldiers, there were soldiers that came. Out of all the funerals I've been to, the only soldiers I've seen is when we have the military ones and the soldiers there to give honor. These soldiers were brought because the religious leaders of the time came to Pilate and said, look, this man said he would do what? Rise again in 3 days. So, we think you ought to do something, Pilate, to make sure that we cover all the bases, that this isn't done, because we know those disciples, what they'll do. They'll go steal that body, and they'll go hide it. Pilate basically had enough of all this. He was against the crucifixion at time, didn't want to be blamed, kept trying to find someone else to blame. Now these religious leaders are coming. We did what you wanted. He was crucified. He's dead. Why are you bothering me now? So he says, okay, I'll tell you what you can do. You see how you can secure it. And I'm out of it. Well, what did they want? They wanted some soldiers. A unit was a unit usually of 12 soldiers. So we figured that 12 soldiers went to the gravesite. The gravesite was given by Joseph of Arimathea. And if you remember the stories of Nicodemus, we believe that Nicodemus may become the believer because he used some of his funds with Joseph to take charge of the body of Jesus. They put him in Joseph's own tomb. They put a stone in front of the tomb. The stone, we'll talk about a little bit later. But those soldiers were responsible to guard the area that nobody could sneak in at night and take the body. So it's kind of interesting as they go through. There's about 16 of them holding on. Matthew 28, 12 through 15, the guards reported later that the tomb is what? Empty. I think I told you even last year there was a processional going to see the walk and the path of Jesus' life in Israel. And they found the place they believed was the tomb. The lines were lined up for hours, and one lady stayed in there for 2 hours in the heat going through the line. And when she gets there, she looks in and she says, I stood in this line for 2 hours. There's nothing here. And the guy behind her goes, that's why we're here. Could you imagine soldiers given a responsibility that nothing should happen? But something happened, because later on, where are the soldiers? The soldiers are gone. The soldiers had experienced something that made them afraid. Isn't it interesting how afraid people get? So many times in the Bible, an angel or the Lord Jesus tells us what? Do not be afraid. You ever been afraid in your life? Yeah, it doesn't feel good, does it? You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes there's an excitement because you don't know what's going to happen and you're looking forward to it, but other times in the afraid, you're scared, if they say what, to death. You're scared. And Jesus, the angels, and those go, we say, do not be afraid. I want to tell you right now, I don't know all of you, but some of you might be visiting today, and you haven't experienced the gift of salvation. You are still dead in your sins and not alive in Christ. You might be afraid, what does tomorrow hold? If I was called today before God, what would be my defense? Or am I out there afraid of what answer I might have to give? Today, you do not need to be afraid. Jesus died for you. John 3:16, remember Sunday school, right? For God so loved what? The world, and you're included in that. Not in your own world, you're included. So, we have the soldiers. Then we have a seal put on the tomb. Normally that wasn't done. The stone might be put there because if the body decayed, they didn't want any wild animals or anything to get to the body. But then we seal it so we can't break it. I used to do that when I worked in the healthcare business. Somebody passed, we sealed the door. That let me know that if that seal had been broken, that somebody had gone in there and may have taken something of value or was doing something in somebody's room that shouldn't happen. It was an extra thing for me and for the family of security that nothing had changed. For the Jewish leaders, for the soldiers, the seal was that mark that nothing will happen. He's dead, and nobody can come and steal the body. No one really expected what? That he had risen. Even his disciples had heard it, but we're kind of like a lot of people, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. And so we have a seal that's put on the door. Pilate told them, secure it however you want. And so they had soldiers and they had a seal. Now we look at a stone. That tombstone weighed estimated 4,000 pounds. That's heavier than most vehicles at 4,000 pounds. It was on a little runner. So when it was pushed, it could stay in that little route, stay there, and it could be pushed and then be sealed. But when the stone is found, it is moved away, and it is off its track, And they say it's probably about 5 to 6 feet away from the tomb entrance. So something happened. What happened? There was a what? An earthquake. The ladies tell us there was an earthquake. And it's like an angel must have picked up that stone and thrown it. And the angel is sitting on top of the stone. I could just see a kid like on a little fence, right, kicking his feet, you know. And when they come, it's kind of like the angel's going, well, you're finally here. We've been waiting for you. You're finally here. And guess what? The news is he is not here. For you ladies, go see. Take a look. He's not here. Isn't it nice how God uses women in the Bible? They're the ones that get to see first. And they're simply told to go tell the disciples. It's neat if you ever do any study and you see things like that. Now, when they go into the sepulcher, kind of strange. You know, if you go to any of the religious leaders of any faith today, and you found out exactly where they would be buried, you would find something there. What would you find? Maybe find some what? Some bones? Yeah. As long as you didn't open it up and it smelled like Lazarus did, right? And it said, he stinketh. And this one, as it's been open for us, because we couldn't get it open, all of a sudden it's open, the ladies go in, and there are no bones. There's no body. And then it's interesting because if you look later on, you see that his grave clothes are what? Exactly the way they would be if he was still wrapped in them, but the body is gone. Now, if you had said the disciples took the body and stole the body, I don't believe they could get the shroud and everything back to perfect. Now, my mom had a great ability that she would know that if we move something in the house or we broke it and tried to fix it and put it off the bed, the first thing she knew something had been moved and it had been broken. But I can tell you, nobody could do what Jesus did as he left and his grave clothes were left there. Nobody. No smell now. So, as there's no body, and then the disciples get told, and guess what happens? Two people go running. They're excited to go see what's this happened. One, they loved the Lord. They didn't want anything to be desecrating the body. And two, could it be that he told us in 3 days he would rise again? So who goes out? John and Peter. John takes off, and then John, you could think he was younger, so he probably thought, well, I beat the race. I'm younger. But he didn't go in. Isn't that interesting? He got there, and he stopped. Peter, the one that we love, because he's kind of like us, he's kind of impetuous, he wants to make sure, he wants to do things, he goes what? Right into the tomb. And guess what he found? Jesus wasn't there. He had risen just as he said that he would. Now, there was one of the disciples decided that, yeah, you told me he risen. I want to believe it. And maybe he's like some of us. He said, I will not believe unless what? I see the nail prints in his hands and the nail prints in his feet. Then I will believe. That was Thomas, known as the twin, the doubter. And then one time in one of the visions, or as it comes, Jesus comes back to the room. Thomas is there, and he goes to Thomas, put your finger into my hand. Your hand into my side. And it made a difference in his life, didn't it? He fell down and he worshiped God and he said, "This is my Lord and my God." When you realize the power of the resurrection and the resurrection in your life, there will come a time where you call him Lord and your God. Have you done that today? Have you done that? Later on, there's sightings. I think it's interesting. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. More than 500 people at one time saw our risen Savior. So not just the disciples, but others saw him too. What does the resurrection mean for us? It means part of our past is that, like I told you before, we're dead in sin and alive in Christ. That's the past. That's what the past should be. In the presence, you are filled with the Holy Spirit as a child of God. You have that resurrection power in your life. Did you know that? A lot of times you see Christians, they don't look too happy. You wouldn't know they had it. But you have it in your life. And as you grow as a Christian, you see what God is doing in your life and how he's been over and for me, and the things that you didn't know that you'd be used for, he's made available to you. He becomes your Lord and your God. And that's present. And the most precious thing for us as humans is the future. I've done a lot of funerals, and it's heartbreaking, this thing called death. Jesus has shown that death can be conquered, and that there's life, and we can all have hope and peace that those in Christ Jesus we shall see again. Somehow we'll recognize each other. I don't know what age we'll be, but we do know people with ailments. There'll be no more sickness, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. That's good enough, isn't it? But if you go to Revelation chapter 21 and 22 and take a look at that, you will see that there's so much more. And if somebody was in heaven today and could communicate back to you, they would tell you today they are so satisfied, so happy, they wait for you to come, but they don't want to come back. What hope we have in the power of the resurrection. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this season is a joyous season, for he has risen. Let us live this life in the glory of God, that he has risen, he has taken my sins. You as God was satisfied with that offering, and we serve a risen Savior. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.